Good morning, everyone. Time to start the worship service. So if it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, We Believe. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one salvation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation, all is dark, you help us see. There is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe in the conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back again. We believe. So let our voice be born an anthem, greater than the song we
we believe God is good all the time. I want to welcome everybody to Osage Baptist Church this morning. I got a few announcements need to make. We continue collecting on the Lottie Moon this morning. Be a short Christmas practice for the children right after the morning service. Is that in here, in there? Huh? Okay, you got. Oh, come on up here and just give us the 411. I'll confuse everybody.
I'll confuse myself, so I am. We decided to have practice doing children's church today so that everyone who's going to the movie this afternoon can go to the movie and won't have to worry about that. But we do need to practice. We're going to do it in children's church. Also, Mary has put a list in the back foyer. Anybody can bring... for our play, we're going to have beans and cornbread and some sort of a potato dish. So we have the beans covered. We need some cornbread. We need some people to bring cornbread, and we need some sort of potato dish. If you don't want to do fried potatoes, just something to go with our beans. And then we're going to have a pie and ice cream. Thank you.
That's non-Baptist-like, ain't it? Not want fried potatoes with beans. I don't know what that is. So, you got something, Ron, you need? Come on up then.
All right.
These are fried potatoes.
Yeah, not the fried potatoes. Okay, so today is the 5th, and we are going to the Chosen movie. Anyone who would like to go, we still have 4 tickets.
3 tickets now.
3? Okay, we'd like to fill those tickets, so it's not a waste of money. Anyway, if we have enough people that want to go that want to ride a bus, we also have a van to use, says Travis. So please come if you would like. It's going to be a Christmas special. It's going to be awesome. It's all about Jesus.
Oh, I guess let's us know. It's right after church.
Yeah. I don't have a clue. No. Also, this week, Wednesday night, Awana youth meeting. Dinner will be at 5 o'clock. And then the deacons will meet on Thursday night. And then we'll have business meeting next Sunday evening during the evening service. So plan on attending that. And don't forget to mark down the Christmas program being on the 19th. So, all right, let's have it open with a word of prayer. Praise Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We come and be in your house, Lord. We do believe all these things. We do believe you're returning. Lord, we just turn this time over to you. We sing worship to you. Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings and watching over each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All righty, next Sunday, we're going to rehearse the choir from 3 to 5. Next Sunday, and then the following Saturday, the 18th, it'll be from 1 to 3. And then I'm done. Then we're on. So, next Sunday, we're from today, 3 to 5, and then the following Saturday, the 18th, 1 to 3. So, if you're want to sing with the choir, come on up. There's still time to do that. And also, first Sunday of the month, you know what that means. This is happy birthday and anniversary. So any birthdays, come on down. You're the next, wow, look at this. This is going to take a while. That's half the congregation right there. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. All right. Anniversary's in December. All righty. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. How many years? 28. 54. All right. Congratulations. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand again and sing At Calvary if it's convenient for you. Here we go.
I spent in vanity and pride, bearing not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died.
revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thy glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory, revive us again.
We praise thee, O God,
for the Spirit of life, who has shown us the
and He has given us freedom. And He also is the God of revival.
Seen what You can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things You've done before, in greater measure, You will do again. There's no prison wall You can't break through, no mountain You can't move, all things are possible. There's no broken body You can raise, no soul that You can save, all things are possible. Oh, the darkest night, You can light it up. Every stronghold will crumble.
Things are possible. Things are possible.
Amen. Do y'all believe that this morning? All right, be seated, please.
If you're involved in children's church, we're going to let you take charge of those young people right now. That's a good sound, isn't it? It's a good sound. Not against that. Here's a note to the Osage Baptist family, and it says, thank you for your love and support. Friendly smile, a casual touch, these are things that mean so much to know you are with us in our time of sorrow, sharing our prayers today and tomorrow. It's a poem, obviously. I didn't realize that. God gives us comfort in the form of good friends. May His peace be with you. His love never ends. And this is from the family of Cal Laughlin, and that says Carolyn and family. We want to continue to keep those folks in our prayers. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that is going on in your life right now that you would be able to continue doing without the power of the Holy Spirit? Anything that is beyond your own ability, your life. And I think that's what we see in this passage today. We're in Acts, the 14th chapter, as we're moving through the book of Acts, that we're seeing the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these individuals. There are times that the Scripture says, and then Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, or Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, he spoke to this group or preached to that group. And so we find the disciples, or at least some of them, we find the early church, I should say, that has moved out to other quarters, that has moved out to other areas, and they're moving across and spreading the gospel everywhere they go into regions that the church had not been before. They moved from preaching to the Jews only to taking in the Gentiles, and then we come to this place in Antioch of the first Gentile churches in the Galatian area. And when we hear read about Paul's letter to the Galatians, he gives them a very stern warning about staying with the stuff, staying with the gospel, depending on grace and being saved by grace, not by the law, and not returning to Judaism. There's going to be several passages that we look at today and in the Scripture. So we've been given this wonderful opportunity. We have been given the Bible, God's Word, to study. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing. Have you heard that verse before? Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you have anything to do with Awana, you know that's a very familiar verse there. You quote it on a weekly basis. And so when we look in the Scripture, when we look in the book of Acts, and all these accounts have been given to us of the early church from the time it starts in Acts 1 through, 28 chapters in the book of Acts, through the end of the book of Acts, why did God choose to put that in the Bible? I mean, there's a lot of other things that happened, but how did God decide that this goes in and this doesn't go in? This event is to be there and this other event is to not be there. And the same way with the letters, Paul's letters and Peter's and the book of Revelation and on and on. Well, let me give you a little encouragement. In 2 Timothy, when Paul is writing his letter to this young preacher, he says to him, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He didn't say some of it was and some of it wasn't. We've got some groups that believe some of it is inspired and some of it is not, and they're inspired to decide which spot is inspired and which spot is not. But here the Scripture says that it is all inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now look at it. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we go through it all. And so we're going through the book of Acts, and we're going to see that this inspired word, how it applies to us today. So take your Bibles and turn to Acts 14 chapter, and let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of these first three verses in Acts, the 14th chapter. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together unto the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the believing Jews stirred up the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. I don't know if you've noticed this yet or not, but we've got an enemy. That's when we try to spread the word and we're witnessing to someone, the devil also has someone to come along and to try to steal that word out of their heart. The fowls of the air that we talked about a couple of Sundays ago, or maybe last Sunday, I don't remember when it was, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Lord, I just pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word, and our hearts would be open to your word this morning. I pray that the words that come from my mouth would be of you and not of me. I just pray that you might speak to our hearts today through your word. Build us up. Draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So they've come to a place of discouragement and opposition. Number one, stay in the battle despite opposition. And that's the job of the church. It was the job of the early church, and it's the job of the church today. We do not evil forces, but we stay in the battle, and we stay with the stuff, and we keep preaching the gospel. We keep sharing the wonderful news of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. So we're to stay in the battle despite opposition. In verse 3, the disciples stayed there, the Bible says, a long time. And they spoke boldly about the Lord. And then, the Bible says, and God gave them power to perform miracles. These miracles that we read about in the book of Acts always brings up a question about, is that still possible today? I do believe that there are still miracles that take place today. I think perhaps on a daily basis in our lives that God performs miracles, but I think also that in the early church, there were marks of the apostle that the apostles had that is not in the church today. And I think that as we study the scripture, we discover some of those things that are not present in the church today, even though some folks would try to make those things present. The raising of the dead is one of those that I think that the signs of the apostles had that is absolutely not in the church today, even though you might hear different from that. You might hear people say different from that. I was in a restaurant line a few years back, and there was a man standing in the line with us, and I knew some of the folks in the line with him, and he began to talk to me about he had just returned from a mission trip and he saw the dead raised. And I didn't want a brawl to break out right there in that line, so I kind of kept silent. Maybe I shouldn't have, I don't know, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that God raises people from the dead today. And really, you can believe that or not believe it. It doesn't really make any difference. That's my personal belief. I think it's what the Scripture teaches, that the marks of the apostle, and when you read the Scripture, you discover that Paul says that there was this mark on him, a mark of an apostle, that he was one that was called out of season. And I think that he can say that because he raised the dead. And I don't believe that it takes place. I do believe in miracles. I believe that God heals. I believe in healing. I think I've experienced that myself. But I do not believe that people are able to raise the dead. I think that if God wanted to, absolutely he could. He could say to Lazarus after he'd been dead and buried 4 days, he could say, come up out of the grave if that's what he chose to do. But I just don't believe that it happens in the day in which we live. So it says here that God gave them power to perform miracles. They did not decide. God decided. Look at it closely. They did not decide. God decided. So does this mean that they weren't able to turn that power on at their own discretion? I believe that they weren't able to. I believe that it came through the power of the Holy Spirit and that God decided when they had the power and when they did not. Number two, God has a purpose in adversity in our life. Now, you and I would try to get away from adversity if I possibly could. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And I see when trouble comes, people in the back door. When difficult times come, they figure out some way to take off, to escape some way. Here the Bible says if we leave during a time of trouble, during a time of adversity, our strength is small. In Luke, the 18th chapter and verse 1, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so there is this teaching of the Scripture that we stay with it, that we become bold during these difficult times of life. I had a friend that I've known ever since I've been here, been at Osage anyway, and we talked a little bit at a funeral visitation the other day, and he said, "You told me one time that you wanted to resign every Monday morning." He said, "You still feel that way? You've been there 30 years?" I said, "I still feel that way. I want to quit about every Monday." But we cannot, and we will not, quit because of adversity. Our first response to adversity should not be to try to remove it, even though that's, I always ask God, please take this out, but to allow it to reveal our true weakness. So, is that not a strange thing? Is that not to allow adversity in our life to reveal what we're really made out of? Now you just think about the difficulties that are going on right now. And whether it has to do with individuals, whether it has to do with the job, whether it has to do at school, there's some kind of difficulty going on. And so why has God allowed that in our lives? Well, I'll tell you, He hasn't allowed it to tear us down, but He's allowed it to build us up. And so 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, Paul gives us an illustration of that. And we don't know what it was. He had a thorn in the flesh, he calls it. Something that just kept bothering him. Now, some believe it was one thing, some another. Some believe it had to do with his health. Others believe that he took multiple beatings. Some feel like it had to do with his eyesight, that he said in one of his letters, "See how large a letter I've written unto you," and it didn't have to do with how much the consisted in the letter, but it had to do with his handwriting, how large his handwriting was because of his perhaps his eyesight, and that's what a lot of folks think. That's what I think, that perhaps, you know, that he would be able to say to the Lord, "It looks to me like I would be much more efficient if I could see better." Isn't that kind of our deal? "Lord, if I was just a little smarter, if I didn't have this, if I wasn't sick, if I didn't have this ailment, if I didn't have this disability, if I didn't have this in my family or that in my family, if this wasn't going on, then my life would be so much better." And we think that God ought to respond to that. But this is what Paul determined in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. "And he said unto me," he said, God said to him, the Lord said to him, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient." Some translations just says, "My grace sufficient." My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for them. Now look at the latter part of that. "For my strength," talking about the Lord's strength. It's talking about where our strength stops and the Lord's strength takes over. It's what I believe that there's some things that we don't sit idly by and say, "Just God, just go ahead and do this. Here I am, feed me. Put the spoon in my mouth." My strength, the Lord said, is made perfect in weakness. So He shines through in our weakness. When Paul said, "When I am weak, then is He strong." It's not when I am strong. It is when I am weak, then is He strong. Our second response to the adversity in our lives should not be to focus on the outward circumstances, but to realize that we are dealing with an unseen spiritual power. Look with me over in the book of Ephesians 6th chapter. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Really? I thought it was people that was causing us trouble. And then it turns out it's not. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the battles that we go through in our life, we would be much better off if we understood that we have a foe. It's the devil. We have an enemy. It is the devil. And he is doing all that he can to upset the apple cart. He's doing all that he can to keep the ministry from going forward. Now let's look at some of the things that happened to these new Christians and the churches that they were starting. In Acts, the 14th chapter, the first place they landed was Iconium in Acts 14, 1 through 7, and they had to flee for their lives. Now, you get this picture. You get this picture of what is going on in these guys' life. Then they come to Lystra in this same chapter, and Paul is stoned. Thought they had stoned him to death. Now, I've had a rock thrown at me before. I think I've got hit with a rock a time or two. Or you grow up with brothers, or a brother like I did, and some of the friends that we had, we threw rocks at one another. We threw other stuff, but we threw rocks at one another. I got in pretty good trouble once because a friend could outrun me. Of course, I couldn't run very fast, but he'd done something to me. And we're waiting on the school bus at school. Waiting on the school bus, and everybody's lined up, and he did something to me, and I couldn't catch him, of course. So I picked up a rock that I was aimed to lay him out with, and this teacher got in the way. And I banged the teacher instead of David Trogdon. Now, I thought I was going to be in real bad trouble because it brought the blood. But some way it worked out that I got a good lecture about throwing rocks, but that was as far as it went. So they come to Antioch. It's the home of the first Gentile church. In Acts 11, it's a haven for persecuted Christians. They're first called Christians here at Antioch. It was the place where the disciples were first called Christians, and we don't know if it was they meant it good or meant it bad, but it stuck, and we still have it. So here the scriptures tell us that Paul and his companions had a threefold purpose in revisiting the churches. When you follow Paul's missionary journeys, just get a Bible map and follow the three different missionary journeys that he made in his ministry. That not only did they establish churches, but they went back to those churches that they had established, and they had a purpose in revisiting those. And in verse 22, the Bible says they confirm the souls of the disciples. One of the greatest obstacles that our church and churches face today is a backdoor problem. You know what that means? It means that they come through the front door and they go out the back door. Now, some way we're failing to confirm these disciples. They're coming. We have somewhere in the neighborhood, Deanne probably knows this, 570 higher. More than 570 members. Where they at? They went out the back door. Some of them come on occasion. I made some folks real mad one Easter because I wished them a Merry Christmas. And a lady came to me later, and they never did come back. They weren't members here, but they never did come back. And I said it to the whole crowd, but it hit them square between the eyes. And she said, "You offended me." And I said, "How did I offend you?" And she said, "You wish me a Merry Christmas." You wouldn't think that would offend folks. But it did them because they only came Easter and Christmas. They confirmed the souls of the disciples. What does it mean to this confirming? Well, it means to support, to further strengthen. There is this deal. Our job is not complete until the evangelized become evangelists. So we're some way, and I don't know what for us to do. I mean, we're doing everything that we know to do, but how is it that when people come to the Lord, that we do not, I want to get down there, we do not stop our support until they begin to evangelize those folks that are around them. Now, I don't know exactly how for us to do that. We're doing all that I know for us to do, and we try to get folks involved. I'll tell you, if you don't get involved, you're not going to last here. I don't know anything else, any other way to put it. But I've been watching it for 50 years. And when folks come and all they do is warm the pew, excuse me if I'm offensive, but all they do is warm the pew. They do not get themselves involved in some kind of small group, Sunday school, or Wednesday night, or some small group. They do not invest themselves in the church. In a little while, they'll be a part of that 575 that never do come again. Maybe it's not supposed to be that way, but that's just the way it is. They hear the disciples were going back to the church, and they were confirming the souls of those that got saved. You know, I'm one of the fortunate ones, I guess. I had a lot of encouragement. I grew up in a great big place in the suburbs of Gilbert. We lived a mile out of Gilbert. It was 4 miles of dirt road to our house. closest neighbor was about a half a mile away in one direction, over a mile in the other direction. We lived in the country. And, something happens to a kid when he gets 15 or 16 years old. Got any boys in here that's over 15, 16? You 14? 14 will work. Raise your hand up there. Something happens. And you begin to get interested in the girls. That surprise you? And the closest church to us was, about 8 miles away, St. Joe Baptist Church. And all the good-looking girls went to the Baptist church. And so that's where I went. And I'll tell you what, some of you young ladies got a lot more power to get people here than you think you do. The prettiest girl I'd ever seen in my life went to the Baptist church. And her daddy was the preacher. I had a lot of encouragement. If I was going to date that girl, I was going to go to church. Not only was I going to go, I was going to be faithful. And I tell you, my father-in-law had a... He was an encourager, but he's also real rough. If you were dating his daughter, how do you know? I remember the first time I asked Gwen on a date. I mean, I had one of the best cars at St. Joe, and I was one of the best-looking boys in the class. I don't know why she wouldn't have wanted to went with me, but their deal was I had to ask her daddy if I could take her on a date. Any daddies like that here today? You sure better be. And if you're raising one, that ought to be what you ought to do. I had to ask her daddy. He was out in the garden. And the movie house had burned down. And so they had a drive-in theater at Marshall. And that's where you went to go to the show. So I went out in the garden and asked her daddy if I could take his middle daughter to the show. And this is what he said. Why would you want to do that? Can you imagine that? Now, a lot of thoughts went through my head. I thought it was a good place to make out. No, I thought I would. I do not want to say that. Take that off. Don't. Take that last one back. But he had a way about him of confirming the souls of the disciples, especially my soul. And he worked with me, and he was patient in some ways, he was impatient in others. They exhorted them to continue in the faith. The word exhort here means to call near, to comfort. The idea of walking up to someone and putting your arm around them and pulling them to you and encouraging them. There's a verse that I've read, no telling how many times, but it brought something new to me this time when I read it. Look at verse 22. confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now look at the last part of this verse. Did you know this was here? And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know what tribulation is? It gets its name from a stone that was used to separate the chaff from the wheat. And it literally means pressure. It was the pressure of that stone, that tribulant, that rolled around the threshing floor and separated the wheat from the real wheat from the chaff. And then they'd take a winnowing fork of some kind, and they'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away, and the real wheat would fall back to the ground. And this says, it is through that, that the Lord uses tribulation. Doesn't mean that's how we say it. We're saved. It's talking about the kingdom of God. And when you study the New Testament, you discover that this is a lifestyle. The kingdom of God is a lifestyle. And it is for the Christian. And I believe it doesn't mean that they're lost, but I believe that there are folks that are not living in the kingdom of God in the way that God meant for Christians to live in the kingdom of God. I don't know hardly how to explain that, but I believe it takes place. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so I think that kind of lifestyle is what God has for us. But it's through tribulation that brings us to that place. It's through pressure in our life and us staying with the pressure that brings us to that place of walking in the Spirit. I've heard lots of preaching in the last 50 plus years. And I've gone to lots of meetings, state meetings, the evangelism conference. I love to take guys to that because there's always some really good preaching there. And I've been doing that for years and years and years, and I've just heard lots of preaching. And there would be someone that I'd never heard come and preach at one of those conferences, and I mean they would ring my bell. They would light my fire. And I would think, oh, I wish I could preach like that. And then I hear their story. And it is through much tribulation. It is through very difficult times that they have come to that place in their life that the Spirit is able to use them in such a magnificent way. I'm going to quit here. What I want to do tonight at 6 o'clock is that I didn't finish last Sunday night, and I'm not finishing this morning, so I'm going to finish this tonight, and then also I'm going to finish up last Sunday night. So I think it's real important. That 13th chapter is real, real important. And the establishment of the church is a real important thing. They established elders. How did they do that? They established leaders of the church, deacons and pastors, leaders of the church. And so how did they decide that? Who? Yeah, I'd like to be a deacon. I'll preach. No, that wasn't the way they did it. I'm not going to say that. Let's, Mike, come and help us. And Monica. And Tim and Roger, would you all come and help me? most important decision that you could possibly make in your life is what you do with Jesus. He's the only way. And really, lock, stock, and barrels, the only way I know, to give Him your life and follow Him. If you're here and not born again, I'll give you an opportunity to make that decision this morning. Trust Christ as your Savior. If you have another decision you need to make, either a recommitment to Him, or if you God's dealing with your heart to become a member of this church, I hope that you'll decide to do that today. So as we sing and you stand with us, as God deals with your heart, you make that decision for Him.
Thank you all for joining us this morning at Osage Baptist Church. Just a reminder, if anybody does want to ride a van, we're just trying to figure out if we need to take a van or not. So just come see me or Ron, and we'll determine if we want to take a van or not. So I'm going to close this in prayer. Father, thank you for the message today and the beautiful weather, the awesome day you've given us, Lord, to see us back safely this evening. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.